Have you ever wondered about the people who lend their pretty voices to the Hindi adaptations of your favorite Hollywood flicks? Whether it is to dub the dialogues for The Invisible Man's Elizabeth Moss, Hobbs and Shaw's Vanessa Kirby, or our very favorite and ferocious Nala of the Lion King, this young and talented voiceover artist from Mumbai has done it all. Hello and welcome to Money Control. This is Priyanka Sahai and you are tuned into Setting Sail. And today's guest is not just a dubbing artist for movies, but has also lent her voice for audiobooks and in-flight announcements. A mother of two, Neha Gargava says she'll never trade this job for anything in the world. Hi, Neha. Thank you so much for taking time out for us.
Hello, Priyanka. Thank you so much for having me here and for such a beautiful introduction.
Absolutely, Neha. It's indeed a pleasure. And let me begin by asking you. You were paired alongside Shah Rukh Khan and Aryan Khan for the film Lion King. I'm sure that's a big feat for, a young artist like yours. Tell us about that experience. How was it like to be paired alongside these two people?
Priyanka, to be very honest, I was oblivious to the fact that Shah Rukh Khan and Aryan Khan were part of the movie. And only halfway past the dub, I got to know that they are my co-cast. And it was a pleasant surprise, yeah. But that's because of the kind of secrecy and protection that's around our work. And so it's a usual practice that, a lot of things are not shared even with us.
Right. So when did you get to know? I mean, was it during the post-production period or almost ahead of the formal launch? When did you get to know and what was your first reaction?
As I said, it was halfway past my dubbing that I came to know that the other voice is going to be Shah Rukh Khan's and Aryan Khan's. And my reaction, I was numb for some time. Because I was not expecting this. So it took time to settle in for me to realize, what we are really talking about.
And what is the production like? I mean, how many people are involved? And do the cast get to meet each other? Or since it's just audio, you come, you do your own recording and then you're off?
Yeah, we work in the same studio for a project like this because technically it is required to be done like that. So in that sense, artists come and go in the same studio. So by that means you sometimes bump into each other. I've bumped into a couple of other, very talented and legendary artists. But in this case, Shah Rukh Khan has not dubbed around our time. He used to have his own schedule. So he would probably come, at night or something whenever it's convenient for everybody to have that kind of a space and environment for him to dub. So with respect to this particular movie per se, I could not get the opportunity to meet him.
There's Ashish Vidyarthi as Scar. There's Shreyas Tarpade who was, giving his voice for Timon. Sanjay Mishra was there for Pumbaa. I think Asrani was there as Azu. Who all did you get to meet?
Yeah, so we all met at the launch. I met Ashish Vidyarthi and Shreyas Tarpade and Suniti Chauhan. So we all were there as a part of the, people, as a part of the team who came for the premiere of the movie. So I got to meet all of them and we had fun. Like, it was really, really big thing to, get feedback from them about the work. And they were very appreciative and very supportive. I didn't feel like I was meeting, people who really look up to in terms of acting and craft. So that was a very sweet thing. I would especially say that for Ashish Vidyarthi, he had been really, really sweet that day.
And they are such legendary actors. They're senior actors. And, people know them and respect them in the Tinseltown. So I'm sure it would have been a huge, boosting experience for you also.
Absolutely. But, the beauty of such people is that they don't make you feel that way. Only, an afterthought makes you realize that, oh, this is what happened. Oh, you met them. But when you're with them, you're working with them, or they are encouraging you. You always feel that you're the part of the same team. You don't feel that you don't belong there in that team, in that, project. So that's
beautiful.
The beauty of it.
Absolutely. And, when we're talking about Nala, I understand that, the Hollywood adaptation of the latest version for Nala was done by Beyoncé. Here in India, what we saw that Suniti Chauhan did the soundtrack or I would say the vocal part of Nala while you did the dialogues for Nala. How was it like?
I think it's a creative call because the character of Nala had a lot of deliverables in terms of acting and how the dialogues were spoken. So it needed a different kind of skill set. So I think they decided it was a creative call to have two people, casted for the same character, one for a different kind of a skill set, another for a different kind of skill set. And I think they were able to marry it very well. So that must have been the reason for it, I guess.
Okay, and what is, your experience so far? You've spent over a decade or a little more than that in the industry now. Tell us, what is a day like in the life of a voiceover artist?
To understand it simply, to get the essence of it, I would say, voicing does to your day what, traveling does to your holiday or a vacation. That's what it is like. You are your real person in the morning. You step out into a studio. You step into a studio. You are one character. You're doing something. You're part of a different story, maybe crime. Then you step out of the studio. You are another studio. You are a romantic character. Then so you just keep changing your hide, and you are a part of different story all the time. And then you're back home being yourself. So your day becomes bigger. It's a larger than life experience to be associating yourself and, becoming different characters and portraying those roles. It also trains your mind to not be rigid and, to have a perspective about everything, to not judge things. So on an intrinsic level, it has a very, it does metamorphosis to you.
It's quite, beautiful to hear it that way. We would have never seen it like that. And having said that, why did you choose this profession? You are an MBA. Understand that you were, hired by this company as an HR executive, but you left that profession and came into the entertainment industry. Why did you choose this profession much against the degree that you hold?
It's a very individualistic journey, I would say, because as a person, I'm very internally driven. So I have realized and I'm able to articulate it because I've thought a lot about it, and I, kind of look back and evaluate what has happened, how I've come so far, or, how far I have to go, what drives me. But the thing is that if I don't feel I'm good at something, I don't enjoy it so much, and I can't pursue things I can't pursue things if I don't like doing it. I don't have that skill set to get better at something that I don't enjoy internally. So, which is why it made me, switch between different lines. Since my, college or school days, I have studied a lot of different subjects. And until I came to voicing, I was seeking something better, to feel better. But this industry, this field, my job has made me a beautiful person. And I have seen myself groomed into a better human being. It might sound banal, I don't know, but it really drives me because when I look 5 years back, I see myself becoming better at so many things, upskilling and a better human being. So this is what drives me internally, believing and seeing that I'm able to do good at something. And I've never been this good in anything, to be honest.
I'm sure that's not the case. But tell us, what really was the trigger point? When was it for the first time that you realized that your voice could be maybe used as a voiceover artist? Or was it maybe a conversation with a person, a stage performance? When did it occur to you that this could be your next profession?
I was never sure. Like I said, I was never sure that this is going to be my profession. I stayed because I enjoyed doing it, and I thrived. I thrived because I enjoyed it. And I've always been an entertainer informally throughout my school life, college life. I've always been an entertainer in my group, school friends and all. So that thing, that knack of, expressing something in a way was always there. And I just stumbled upon voice acting, and my husband introduced me to this field. He is from media, he's into marketing, and he felt that there could be some connect and this could be something I would enjoy and thrive in. So he is the person to be credited to for introducing me to this field. And then I just started my journey like everybody else, auditioned, did a couple of workshops with some great artists. And then started from there. I made my voice samples. I went for ambience or crowd dubbing. And that's how it picked up, very organically. Like there was no thought of path for it from my side, at least. And I enjoyed it.
Which was your first project?
My first project was an animation series called Chicken Stew. It used to come on Nickelodeon. And it's quite accidental, and I think... just as luck would have it, just doesn't usually happen that somebody enters the field and you get a series to yourself with the main character. So I clicked this audition for this chicken who had a very screechy voice. That was my first ever animation, first ever dubbing project. I had never done dubbing before that. not even as a crowd artist or as an ambient artist. It was a 52 episode series and it did quite well. And thanks to the production house who gave me a chance and believed that I would be able to pull it off for a show like that. So that was my first project. But after that, I did a lot of crowd dubbing and, understanding behind the mic what goes into the live dubbing and all that. So I learned quite a lot even after that.
Currently, entertainment is an industry which is always seen with a lot of fanfare around and, a lot of glitz. But how lucrative is this profession for youngsters? And what are the key issues that they should keep in mind while opting for this?
Priyanka, I feel that there is a lot of conflict when choosing to go for something, it's there in youngsters especially. It could be a part of everybody's life and everybody, at some point of time, it takes a break or, takes a space and thinks about all these things. But the reason I feel is that our objectives are not clear at some point of time. If I say I want to be an artist, a TV artist or an actor or a, director or anybody, I have to be very clear within what is it that I am seeking. Am I seeking endorsement and acceptance from others or am I seeking growing in my craft? The two could coincide at some point, once I'm a veteran and I've really proved or owned myself. But to begin with, if my expectations are not clear from myself and if right kind of controls are not there in my hands, then there is a lot of vulnerability that could, prove to be a trouble. So you have to have very clear objective about what you're seeking. And if that is sorted, then whether or not you have as much following on social media, whether or not you're getting big projects, it doesn't matter. There are people out there who are doing absolutely wonderful theater and they are super happy with it and they are appreciated for it. And they are happy with the kind of appreciation that they get or maybe it doesn't bother them, even if they are criticized. There are innumerable examples like that. So I think once that is clear, then, external factors would not affect us so much and our battles and troubles would also reduce. We'll be more calm inside and happy with what we are doing and we'll take right decisions. And it's true to any field, I think.
Absolutely. But on an economic front, if I were to ask you, if youngsters want to enter into this industry, how good or bad it is for them?
It is great. But again, we have to be sure of the fact whether we are ready for it or not, one. Number two, we also have to keep in mind that this is craft, this is art, and if we are looking at it from the perspective of, earning bread for ourselves, then that's when the pressure starts building up. You have to have some kind of, especially if you're starting out and if you don't have any background or, a connection to back you up, then you have to have some kind of a basic, rolling to keep you going. Maybe you could be a writer, you could do a job somewhere, but straight away getting into the field with the thought of making it your profession and earning from it, it exerts a lot of pressure and it affects your art and the kind of decisions that you would make to, take up projects. And that's when all those problems start.
So the ideal way is to have an alternative profession, at least till the time you become an established name.
Rightly put, yeah.
Okay. What is the sort of brief given to you when you sign up a project? What sort of a drill actually goes behind, when you have to imbibe a character?
Any kind of a character, first thing is usually we get a character sketch, which talks about the idiosyncrasies of the character, the kind of plot that it is and how the story is flowing and how is this particular character that you would be doing oriented. That's when you get a basic idea. After that, there's a lot of scope for the artist. That's when the real game happens, when you absorb the nuances of the character and the scene and, small nitty-gritties of the character, and then you start rolling. A couple of takes here and there, and that's about it. So not much of a dope or a brief as compared to a TV actor who would get it to play the character. And of course, we have the visuals with us, so that also helps.
Okay, so the visuals will keep playing while you, module your voice.
Yeah, we do get to watch it a couple of times to just get a hang of how it is, plays in the whole scene with other characters, and then it starts rolling.
So a lot of times, these actors and actresses would say that they isolated themselves in a room for a specific role. They went and stayed with college friends just if they were to do a college role. Nothing of that sort is required to do voice overs, or is there something more to it?
a lot of help is provided by the visual themselves, and then there are dialogues. So you don't really need to do that, because you have to support it with your voice. You have to support what has already gone into the onto the making of it with your work. So it is really not required with our kind of a job. But all that happens in the mind. So, you know, voice acting is theater of the mind. So that is there, and everything happens. But I just think it's more compressed for us. We don't have that kind of a scope to do it outside the studio. Everything has to be ad-lib then and there.
Right. So what are the challenges this industry has for an artist like you?
To begin with, I would count on a couple of fair things that happen. And then I would like to mention the challenges. The best part is that the profession itself is such that it needs you to be best at your job. And when you're good at your job, you get picked up. So the work chooses you. So there is no conflict or intervention there, you know. Secondly, I would say, as far as conflict or a challenge goes, I also feel that given the craft and the skill that needs to be in place for a particular project, sometimes, you know, having a bigger name or having a more known personality, sometimes there is a conflict of how the pay goes. So I think that's something that could be taken care of, because when you hear a character, you're looking for that kind of a feel. It's not the name that should matter at that point of time. It's the work and how the character is executed by the artist. So at that level, I think there is a lot of scope where things could be changed or revived, and voice artists could be, you know, remunerated as at par with, you know, more known television artists or, you know, more known names.
Branding goes along with this industry. So if you are a known name, you'll be paid more than somebody who's relatively lesser known.
Unfortunately, that's what the perception is. Yes. From production houses also. Yeah.
There's so much of talk of nepotism that's going around right now. The unfortunate demise of actor Sushant Singh has again ignited the issue to, you know, a lot many degrees. What are your views on that?
As I said, Priyanka, it's the same thing. Like, if I came to this city with all the struggle, what drove me to be here? Did it drive me that I would make a huge name for myself and I would have, you know, all the materialistic pleasures of the life? Is that what drove me to come here? Because if that is the case, that is important and it feels good. I'm not saying it's not required in life or it is unnecessary, but I'm saying if that is what drove me to become my best and I got all of that, then I will never have the happiness, because inside I'm not seeking to be better or good, or I don't feel good about myself.
So you're saying that external validation is not required, even when it comes to projects and job offers and networking?
Youngsters should think about it. And in this stage, when there are ample avenues for everybody to, you know, showcase themselves, their work, then I think validation should find its right place and it should not be overrated. Because it then affects you. If it is affecting you in this way, then what happened to all the hard work and sacrifices that you made all the way?
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah,
so I think people should think about it. I'm not saying it is less or more important, but it should be given a serious thought, you know, in perspective.
Absolutely. But then what about the issue, the core of the issue? You just said that, you know, there are preferences given to people who are brands in themselves versus somebody who's perhaps a much better artist. So there is, of course, you know, payment goes towards the name instead of the talent. That is also one very clear example of how nepotism works. So even though in this case, you're talking about an extreme step, but when it comes to the economics, when it comes to the recognition, this issue is impacting the industry, isn't it?
It is impacting. I'm not saying that it is not. But what I'm saying is that, like, if I can talk for myself, okay, I think I have never marketed or never propagated whatever I've done. I have a profile, I have a page where, you know, my people can see my work and they can know about me if they want to know. I'm saying I use the medium to express myself and my work at the right places. To me, it is important for it to be out there for somebody who's seeking it. But as an artist, to me, what gives me a bigger happiness is my work speaking for itself. You know, me being able to justify the character, or me being known for the work. Even people who have not met me, they sometimes compliment me that, oh, we saw this was your voice. We didn't know. Wow. to me, this is what I'm seeking. So even if validation is there, great, superb. If it is not there, I'm happy. You know, so I can still say that, okay, these are the things that need to change, but this is how it is. I'm happy. I'm surviving. I'm fine. It doesn't affect me emotionally, or it doesn't get to me. So when we talk of nepotism, I mean, there are a couple of people or a couple of brands who have made it big, who have really driven the industry, and they have their way of functioning. You know, how much can you expect, and how much would can you allow it to affect you is what somebody needs to think. And now we are talking about it an age where there is digital, so much of digital going around, so much of theater and acts and things like that. There are multiple avenues to showcase what you can do and reach out to people directly.
It's good to enter this industry with a clear mind. I mean, nepotism is a factor, and you really have to be immune. You cannot get over emotional about it. Otherwise, it's going to impact you in more ways than one.
Absolutely, because you can only change the way you perceive things. If inside everything is fine, then how outside things are happening won't matter to you so much. You will work around your way, you know, to thrive and still be there if you really love what you do.
And one thing you very, clearly pointed out, and I found it very interesting also, was that now there are so many avenues. Online is becoming one of the biggest mediums that the country or the world ever had. And I see that you have signed up for many projects with Netflix and Amazon Prime, and I would say other OTTs as well. So are you saying that the opportunities and the workflow has increased after the advent of all these OTT players in India?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It was picking up any which ways, and we had a lot of new content being made before COVID. And after COVID, we now have, you know, we had not thought that, you know, big movies like the way, like the ones that we have in these 2-3 months would be released on such platforms. Plus, we have international content coming in, which is getting dubbed. So the consumption has also increased, even in villages and remote areas. There are multiple surveys and samples and facts showing that the reach has never been like this before. So it has really caught on, and these tough times still, you know, came with this opportunity where the appetite for digital consumption has really gone up, which would have taken a couple of more years in usual circumstances. But yeah, it has picked up really well.
So the further growth of this sector will help youngsters and will reduce their dependence on the brands, quote unquote?
Absolutely. In fact, there are a lot of stories, and celebrities and, you know, established TV artists are also feeling that they have much more, you know, bigger freedom of being casted into the kind of roles or becoming a part of stories that they would have wanted to, because there's more liberty and there are more opportunities for people here. So I think it's a great medium and great time to be, you know, doing your craft on this kind of a medium.
That sounds absolutely great. And one quick last question, Neha, here. Which is the character that you have played which has been closest to your heart so far?
It's difficult to say, but any character which I play for a longer time, you know, I have a deeper connect with it. So although Lion King had a special, you know, a place in my heart, and it has really rewarded me in many ways. A character called Piper Chapman, who's the protagonist for Orange is the New Black, is something which will always stay close to my heart. It broke so many barriers and so many mind blocks. And, you know, it was at times it was very tough to do or say, you know, be a character who I could not identify with. But it really changed the way I perceive a couple of things and, you know, a couple of theories or principles I had. So the kind of vulnerability that this character had and the way she got through those months of imprisonment in Lichfield, I think it was a very, very cathartic experience, and that will always stay with me.
It's quite interesting to see how cinema helps us become the better version of ourselves. And like you rightly pointed out, I mean, this character, I'm sure, would have helped you do that as well.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It changes you. I mean, it might not sound true to an onlooker, but becoming a character, a part of the story, it just changes something in you every time, you know, you become part of a story. You just come out as a new person. And your way of judging things and everything, it takes a hit, and you just look back and you have a bigger perspective on things in life in total.
Absolutely. All right, then, Neha, on that note, I would really like to thank you for taking time out for us.
Thank you so much, Priyanka, for having me over. It was a pleasant experience.
So that's all that we have for this episode of Setting Sail. Meanwhile, if you have any comments or queries, you can write down to us. Our email is mcpodcast@nw18.com. You can also follow us on Twitter with our user IDs at moneycontrol.com and at Priyanka Sahai. Till then, for more news, views and updates, stay logged on to moneycontrol.com.